College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, presented by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. Our pal Chris Russell from the Chris Russell Show on the Team 980 is going to join us coming up in about 20 minutes.
Has he been going every day to see the guys?
I don't know if he's gone every day. I definitely know he's been.
Uh-huh. I see the little updates that Grant is putting out on his social media. I know Linnell's out there. I know, of course, JP and B. Mitch are always out there.
Denton was out there. Yeah, Denton interviewed Quan Martin and a few other people. So
nice.
Yeah, the fan and the team, 980, all over it.
I went to happy hour.
Very good. That's a good thing.
Did something. I wouldn't mind lugging my ass over there. Just to see a little bit.
Camp's going to start a day early today because of the super high temps coming in.
Right.
So they're starting practice, I believe, at 8 instead of 9.
You heard it's supposed to feel like it's 110.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be absurd.
I hit balls yesterday, but not until like 7 p.m. I just had to wait for the heat wave to hit. Because it's, you know, it was great Monday and Tuesday. Was it Monday and Tuesday? Or maybe Tuesday and Wednesday? Well, a couple of those days, it was fantastic.
I like to get outside as much as possible, but today I think I'm spending probably 85% of my time indoors. Because I woke up this morning at home. I'll stay indoors here throughout the entire show. That takes me up until 10 a.m. I will drive to MGM National Harbor. I'll be outside for about 15 seconds. Then I'll be inside for about 3-ish hours. Drive home.
You have to remind me because I don't remember. Are you there for an event?
What? No, I'm just going to go play some cash game.
Okay,
just go hang out a little bit. Show my face in the poker room.
I got mocked because I declined the 2:30 tea time at Hidden Creek for our Friday game.
Who is mocking
hard.
You?
It's hard.
My group, the Friday game group chat.
Well, tell them.
I'm getting mocked.
Tell them they're insane people for playing golf when it's 110 heat index.
I've done it within the last 7 or 8 days where it's this kind of weather. Yeah. And by the time you get to like 16 or 17, like you're drenched head to toe. And I know my playing partners.
You're like delirious.
They actually ask me, am I, because you know me, I always wear my emotions on my sleeve, everything. What you see is what you get. And when I'm tired, you see it, and I look it. And they actually ask me, are you okay?
Do you need some help?
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. But, dude, this is wiping me out. Yeah, it's not wiping you out?
I the only time I can envision myself outside today is my wife and I will probably walk Winnie at 8 p.m. just to try to avoid some of the heat.
Is Winnie like, one of your little teeny dogs?
She's actually pretty. She's like 53 pounds.
All right, that's good.
She's much bigger than some of the previous dogs that we've owned.
I saw your wife put out some pictures recently. I think it was your backyard. Yeah. Do you just let her run around in the backyard at times?
Yeah, of course. I mean, this dog has a lot of energy. She needs to run around.
How often do you have to go there and clean up the poopies?
I mean, every day or so, every other day. Now she takes poos on walks too, which cuts down on the poos
in the backyard.
Isn't that a
pain in the butt? Always have when you have a dog to bring your little poo.
Well, it's part of the deal. If you're going to have a dog,
somebody left
you have to
one
clean
in
up
the
after
sidewalk.
It.
My wife and I just went for like an after dinner walk. They said it's supposed to be good for you, right?
Yeah.
Do a 20-minute after dinner walk. So we did. I was like, you know what? We should do it. On my reels, they say we should do an after dinner walk. Let's go for a 20-minute after dinner walk. And somebody left stinky poo in a little plasticky on the sidewalk.
Oh, so they actually...
They bagged it.
They bagged it and then just left it there.
Somehow, or it got dragged out of something. Okay. But it was gross.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a poor pet owner. Like, if you're not cleaning it up or cleaning up and leaving the bag out...
How often do you, when you're walking your dog, look around and hope no one's looking and let the dog drop his poopy and then not pick
Never.
It up?
I'm a good pet owner.
You 100% pick it up.
My wife and I, we...
What if they go,
we go
to
on
the...
a walk and we're prepared. Like, we make sure we have bags
but what
in
if the
pockets.
What if the dog just goes, like, over near the woods or something? But then
now there
like
have
that.
Been like spots that are like
exactly
public area. Like if
that's
if
what
she
I'm
goes
saying.
Poo in a park or like this where you know people aren't walking for the most part, I might have turned it. You know, okay,
blind
that's,
eye.
That's it. Yeah, it's in the high grass.
That's what I'm
it's
saying.
It's in a park. Okay, I can turn a blind eye to that.
Right.
But like if she poops in somebody's yard, I mean, I'm always going to pick that up.
Right. Or the sidewalk.
And try to be as thorough as I can.
I'm not even sure. Do you then put the bag of poop in with your regular trash?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, where else would it go?
I don't know.
I mean, it just goes in a regular trash can.
I have to deal with that kind of issue a lot, you know, half the time when I have stuff going on. And my trash can smells like death. Like, it is horrific because you'll have that kind of thing in there for a week. In this heat.
No, it's bad.
By the time you drink, you bring the trash. I don't even know how the trash people deal with that because I'm just one donk out of a billion.
Well, a lot of it's robotic now. Like the people that pick up my trash, they don't even touch the cans. They have a robotic arm that comes out, grabs your can.
Does it have to have a certain slot for it?
Well, you have to point the can in a certain direction toward the street so that the robotic arm can go into the grooves and pick it up.
Yeah, right. It's got to have the grooves.
It's got to have grooves. You got to have a certain type of can, certain type of receptacle.
All right, you want to hit the skins? Let me tell you.
I thought you were going to bring something up about drab.
Well, skins related. It's not about drab.
Okay.
Not about drab at all, but I just wanted to note, I wonder if drab is still Team Florio on the name and it's all coming back because I think it's pretty obvious none of that stuff's coming back. There might be momentum from fans. There's no momentum from ownership or anything like that. It's a theory, but I think, as I maintained all along, I don't think ownership really... I think they're over it. They're ready to move on.
I agree with you. Yeah. And though she didn't really touch the question about name change, to me, my vibe for Mayor Bowser was the name's not changing. It's not even worth discussing.
We've discussed
and Josh Hare said so. And you have to believe him.
What? I love name change conspiracy. What if?
Yeah.
Now, this is a what if. I'm just thinking out loud here.
You're allowed to.
What if they're just shelving the name change? And just waiting until...
They get the approval?
No, not the approval. What if they're just waiting until the stadium actually opens? They're just playing the long game.
I suppose that is the next conspiracy theory. We'll just sit on Commanders for now. That'll be the next theory.
It's doable. People are kind of accepting it. But when we move back to RFK and we open that stadium in 2030, we're gonna go back to being the Washington Redskins.
There's so many reasons why I don't think that's gonna happen. I think Goodell would step in.
He might, but you're gonna be so many years away from the controversy about it, and it'll have died down. And I don't think it's gonna happen.
I think it's pretty much dead.
Maybe that's the long game they're playing.
I've maintained all along, it's not gonna happen. I don't think Harris has the appetite for it.
He probably doesn't. And is it? Klaus, is that the last name of the guy who's like running
the team president?
The team president.
Yeah. Like, yes.
He comes from like Campbell Soup, like wholesome name. Is he really going to want to dance with Redskins?
You're not going to want to dance with something that could be potentially toxic to a certain extent. I'm just saying
there's a small percent chance.
I'm saying it's over.
Here's a quote from Josh Harris this year on Fox News.
Okay.
The Commander's name has taken on an amazing element in our building. And we've talked about how they're leaning into it. He says certain types of players are tough and love football are delegated Commanders. Jaden, for example, is a Commander. So we are moving forward with the Commander's name. We're excited about that and not looking back. Then he added, I think it's now being embraced by our team, by our culture, by our coaching staff. And so we're going with that.
My response to that would be, that's diplomacy. That's him just dancing around the topic. And he grew up rooting for the Redskins. If you gave him truth serum or a really fancy whiskey behind closed doors, he would tell you, I love the name Redskins.
Of course.
And the name Commander stinks.
Of course. But I understand he's running a business.
He's running a business. Yeah, he's trying to make money.
It's already happened.
His partner, Mitch Rail, said, we're not here to relitigate the past.
Mm-hmm. Right. They don't
that was a couple years ago.
Drabby, are you with me now? Are you finally on Team EB or are you Team Florio?
Come on over here. Come to this team, Drabby.
Team Florio?
I mean, who cares what they say publicly? That really means nothing to me.
I agree with that.
Florio says their actions have shown that they are at least testing some of the things like the old logo and getting people used to the old name. I got plenty of years. We got like 4 or 5 years until they change the name.
Nothing but time.
If the Commanders win a Super Bowl or keep running it back, then I'll probably change my mind because then they built something. But if they fall back,
I don't think
back,
they have the appetite for it. I think they're just bringing.
I'm not even saying Redskins. I just said that they'd probably change the name. You had the mayor this week say, "Oh yeah, Redskins sounds great," or whatever she said.
She was just saying that in the midst of the Trump controversy, because really, what she cares about is getting the stadium.
Yeah,
there. She doesn't care about the name.
She wants
she
business.
Was basically, yeah. She wants the stadium. She doesn't care what you call the team.
She wants the $2.7 billion of jobs.
The owners don't have an appetite for it. They don't. They're the ones that matter. And as I read somewhere, this could be wrong. And I. Drab, you could easily probably figure this out. Check this. Do they even still have, does the league even still have the rights to that name, the trademark?
I don't know about that.
I'm not even sure they do. I'm not even sure. Someone said that they don't. And I didn't test it.
I'm going to guess they still have ownership of the name. Just got it on lockdown for now.
They got it
in a vault.
Anyway,
by the way, on training camp coverage.
August 1st, I think.
Training camp coverage. On 106.7 The Fan's presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice.
And again, just to reiterate for everyone, they're largely basing this conspiracy on the fact that they keep bringing the old logo back. They're just trying to appease those of us that wish they would change the name.
I don't think they brought the logo back. Well, people are speculating that's the next step.
Correct.
They brought the old uniforms mostly back.
You'll see imagery. They'll put it in their social media. They might have it on a wall somewhere. You know what I mean? They're trying to blend the old with the new. But they're not bringing it back.
Well, speaking of blending old with the new, there is nothing worse. And I mean nothing worse than when you hear this song and they try to jam the name Commanders in instead of Redskins. Oh, it is the worst.
We did all that. We did that bit when they first changed the name, right? Then they changed the lyric.
Yeah, hey, your brother performed it.
Hail to the Commander.
They did a real weird,
whatever it was.
They did a slow jam version of it. Mm-hmm. Oh,
that
so
was
bad.
So bad.
It's so cringeworthy.
They actually played that a few times.
Yes, they did.
All right, so just speaking of some field stuff here, they did reach an agreement on a contract extension with one of their own guys, but it wasn't Terry McLaurin. A one-year extension for Percy Butler, Cakes.
Ah, good for him. He's a depth guy.
Yeah, sure.
I also saw they signed a wide receiver whose initials were TM.
Yeah, they signed a TM.
Yeah, they're teasing the fan base.
But it was Tay Martin.
Not T. Martin. He used to play at Tennessee. Tay Martin.
I gotta
whoever
tell
that
you,
is.
Every time our buddy John Keim talks about the secondary, he raves. He tries to keep it in his pants.
Okay.
But he's raving about Trey Amos. About
ooh,
how he's just.
Love that.
He's like, I don't want to get carried away. And I'm trying not to talk about him all the time. But that he basically is saying, that guy's legit. He described a scenario where he actually this one was Sanistro, where Sanistro Debo tried to bow up Sanistro and just kind of body him.
Right.
Sanistro wasn't having it.
Oh, really?
Trey Amos is busy handling his business. He says he just looks so polished. The footwork looks great. He's just going to be dynamite. If they get anything from Lattimore, it's going to be next level.
By the way, do they have not one but two guys named Ja'Cory in camp?
They have
Ja'Cory
Brooks
and Ja'Cory Crosky Barrett, the seventh round running back.
That might be right.
Two Ja'Corys.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Supposedly the Ja'Cory Brooks.
Oh, he's turning heads.
Made a few
people
catches.
People are doing this. People are like, what?
Yeah.
They're like, what? Undrafted free agent making plays. Well, what?
He's a big dude. And again, I know JP will say, we always talk about it. Seventh and eighth receivers. That's fine. No one says he's going to be a star. But he could be a roster guy. He could make a big catch for you.
Sure.
You just never know.
Or play on special teams.
Yeah.
Make his bones there.
I don't even think they're playing with pads yet.
They are not.
They're not.
Shells, I believe.
But you can tell.
They go in pads, I believe, Monday.
You can tell a little bit when guys are, you know, running routes against each other. How they're handling it themselves.
By the way, I'm sure we'll play clips of it later. Von Miller did his presser yesterday.
Yep.
Now I feel like a douche for calling him out for wearing 24 because he
won you over.
Well, he not only won me over, he explained part of the reason why he wore 24.
Like to honor someone that passed?
Yeah, no. Like one of his buddies that he used to play with got paralyzed. And it was like a tribute to him. He wore it in one game at Texas A&M. He also wears it to honor Kobe Bryant. And I was like, man, now I feel like a douche. I feel like a douche for goofing.
You shouldn't because you're
24.
You didn't know, but I would think you would like. I like it when the guys wear kind of like different numbers. I think it stands out.
I'm not crazy for funky numbers on non-traditional players. I like my pass rushers to wear like 98, 58,
well,
linebacker numbers, defensive end numbers. Well, he's wearing like a running back, cornerback number.
Speaking
let's be
of
honest.
Von Miller, do we have some of the audio? Maybe we could do it when we come back. I don't know, Valdez.
Can got Chris Russell joining us next, but we can play a little bit later in the show.
I want to play something for the press conference where he talks about, you know, yeah, he is 36, but he could roll out of bed and still rush the passer.
Yeah.
Rush the passer.
Coming up next, it's the Rooster, Chris Russell, with the training camp report. Don't go.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Anywhere. Coming up at 7:45, it's our Junkies Weekend Parlay as we try to hit it big. Been trying. I feel good this week, Cakes.
Casey, I've told you for years, football is that's our sweet spot. We're just not that far away from it. I don't have any confidence in us hitting this parlay. We'll put it in.
Well, I didn't. Full disclosure, forgot to put it in last week, but I'm putting this one in today.
All right, let's go out to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude's the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It's our pal Chris Russell, who can listen to on the Team 980. Rooster, you are WrestleMania 621 on Twitter, correct?
Yes.
So we should talk to you first about the Hulkster. Was he your favorite guy growing up?
I mean, yes, because he was the guy. He was the main guy. He was the badass, but the not Hollywood hero. That was later. He was the all-American hero. He represented everything that we didn't have in society, quite honestly, guys, at that point. He was an American icon. He was waging a wrestling war against the Iron Sheik from Iran and Nikolai Volkov from Russia. And that was when the temperature of those battles in our country were so hot and so extreme and so tenuous. And here was this bleach blonde, amazingly muscled, cut superhero figure that we had never seen out of Rocky III and in the wrestling ring, and he's waging a war as an American against these two cats in these two countries, and the music and Survivor and Eye of the Tiger and I Am a Real American, when he switched to that as his walkout music, I mean, it was just unbelievable. So he was an American hero who became a global icon before he really hurt his reputation and his legacy in the last, say, 12 to 15 years.
Yeah. Do you think, would he have been as big if he wasn't in Rocky III?
I think that vaulted him into, like, superstardom.
I think that vaulted him into the perch that WWF at that point gave him. And certainly that helped, because also remember, guys, WrestleMania 1 at Madison Square Garden on a Sunday afternoon, and we're approaching WrestleMania 42 now, so this is 40-plus years ago, was he and Mr. T. He and Mr. T against Rowdy Roddy Piper and Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, and they pulled it off, and it was a spectacle because they had Liberace and Muhammad Ali and Billy Martin, the former famed Yankee manager who was fired and hired five or six different times, and the Rockettes and all of these stars, mostly New York stars, but Mr. T was there in the main event with Hulk Hogan. So that propelled him even further beyond what Rocky III obviously meant as kind of the stage that was set for Hulk Hogan's emergence.
Right. So of the three deaths, we talked about it, and then we'll move on and get on to the Commanders. For some reason, even though I'm by far the least wrestling mark here, this one kind of hit me the hardest. The Malcolm Jamal, which hit me, all of us, I think, of our generation.
Yep.
The Ozzy, yep. I wasn't a huge metal guy, but I mean, Ozzy was so friggin' endearing and lovable in the iconic reality show on MTV. And then Hulk. I don't know.
It's been a dark week, Rooster.
It's been a tough week, boys, and you know, everybody says they happen in threes, and sure as you know what, they happen in threes. I would say all three of those hit me hard. I would say Ozzy hit me less because I wasn't a metal fan, but I mean, I respect obviously his greatness and what he did and what he meant to the music industry and all that. And I was listening to you guys the other day, and you know, when Cakes was talking about his experiences and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, Hulk Hogan's legacy is so complicated. I spent so much time yesterday on everybody's show and on my show talking about it. Right? I mean, I don't mean to dismiss by any means what he did wrong in the last 12 to 15 years of his life. He did a lot of things wrong. It's a complicated legacy. But guys, I was having this argument with someone last night. Like, he may have been as impactful as Michael Jackson, as Prince, as, I don't know, the Rolling Stones at times. That's what Hulk Hogan was, not only to Americans, not only to wrestling, but to the globe. He was a global phenomenon for a long time.
Talking to Chris Russell, the Rooster. You can listen to the Chris Russell Show 1 to 4 p.m. on Team 980. And, of course, Chris could throw in the 80s, mid-80s, when he was younger. All right, you're at training camp.
I heard you just shredding me about that. That was the most awkward conversation with Adam Peters, a guy who wanted nothing to do with either one of us, JP. And I'm trying to sit there and sell my exploits from 34 years ago on a bad radar gun. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I said this.
I have faith in your arm, Rooster. I said this. I didn't doubt you.
I said this on the show. I mean, number one, I do doubt you. I think he's in my department. And number two,
you couldn't wait to doubt me in front of AP.
I mean, Adam Peters was there. It's just an awkward environment. He was standing between two cocktail tables, and just people are kind of going up to him like a receiving line to just schmooze with them for a couple minutes. So I pounced on you when you said that you were throwing in the mid-80s before you got into sports radio.
Right. So I don't even remember exactly how that came up, but maybe it was because he vacationed in Montauk. And that's near my hometown, what have you. So I don't know how it exactly came up, but I was just awkwardly trying to avoid asking about Terry or anything football. Like, I just, those things are not designed, in my opinion, to talk football with those guys, even though that's often the only opportunity one-on-one we get. But, man, I would just say this. Maybe I was told the wrong thing. Maybe the radar guns 34 years ago sucked. I'm sure they did, boys. But I was pretty damn good. I was pretty damn good for a Rooster. All right, Russell, a young Rooster.
All right, let's get on the team. I don't want to waste too much time on Terry because we've done it for weeks and weeks and weeks, and nobody knows anything. But I have to say that the longer I think about it and the more people have kind of given me information about other teams, et cetera, like Aiyuk, last year, they say, signed the same deal that they offered him a month before, right? So he held in the whole time, and it didn't earn him, you know, allegedly, another penny. And then I think about it, I go, you know what? They're probably not going to budge. It's just going to be, at what point is Terry going to either accept it or not accept it?
Well, yeah, because, and maybe they'll budge a little bit, Evie, but here's the thing that they they're looking at it from a NFL perspective, whereas Terry's kind of looking at it from a Terry perspective. Number one, number two, I think they realize that A, he's got to play, right? He's got to report at some point. A, the $50,000 fines, yes, but he's got to play to get credit for the year. So that's a part of it. So that allows them to have and they have more leverage because they also know they have two, you don't want to do this, pending franchise tags.
Yeah, for sure. That's
they
part
can
of
lock
it.
Him in. Yeah, exactly. So why majorly adjust your stance from whatever they're offering, which I've heard was even lower than the 30. I don't know the exact number, but
I'm sure it is.
I believe it to be in the $24-25 million per year range with whatever guarantees. And that's a part of it, too. There's so many prongs to this thing that people get lost on, right, because everybody just focuses on AAV. Whatever. The bottom line is, I think maybe the Commanders will give in a little. I think maybe Terry will have to cave a pretty good amount. And ultimately, both sides will win. It's just a matter of when.
Right.
I just hope it doesn't get nasty to a point of a trade request and where there's a lot more dirty laundry being slung.
Right. Me too. I think all of us want that. All right. So what's jumped out at you so far?
So through the 2 days of camp, I mean, Bill, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, the seventh-round running back, looks slick. I was talking with Logan Paulson yesterday. We were watching him in the red zone, and we both said the same thing. We looked at each other and said, oh, man, that guy's got some pop. He's got some sizzle. Now, it's practice, right? They're not tackling. We all understand. But he hits the hole hard, and he goes downhill, and it's fast, and it's quick, and it's effective. And, guys, remember before that Detroit playoff game last year? I don't remember who reported it, but they were not happy with Brian Robinson Jr., from what I heard. They, you know, really got after him. And he, oh, by the way, had a really good game in that Detroit playoff game. Now, whether that was because of that that urging of him to be more aggressive and to hit the hole harder, or whether that was because Detroit's defense totally sucked, I don't know, because he wasn't very good in Tampa the week before that. He wasn't very good in Philadelphia in the NFC Championship game. I've been saying to people, and this might sound crazy, I don't think he's an Alfred Morris week one starter like Alf did in 2012 when he came out of the sixth round and out of nowhere. But I wouldn't be shocked if Bill, which is what he wants to be called, not Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, starts by, I don't know, week five, week
six.
All
right, so hold on.
Somewhere in that range of
the season. Can you explain the Bill bit? Yeah, that's over all of our heads.
Where's that coming from?
Yeah, so I had him on my show a couple of months ago right after he was drafted. I said, you know, man, what do you want to be called? Because I see your teammates calling you Bill. And it's based off of the character Little Bill. Right, the cartoon character or whatever. I don't know much about that whole series.
Okay. Never heard of it.
I've heard of it. I'm at least familiar with
it. All of his teammates at different stops along the way called him Bill or Little Bill. And I said, man, what do you want to be called? And he said, I want to be called Bill. And I said, well, Bill Kroski-Merritt? And he said, no, Bill. So, okay.
Oh my God.
So call your Bill.
So Little Bill was a whatever. Bill Crosby cartoon.
Bill Cosby, not Bill Crosby.
Why did I say Crosby?
Yeah, Bill Cosby
cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So he wants to be called Bill, anyway,
That's what he wants to be called, but don't get lost in the minutia of his name. I guess what I'm saying is, guys, with Austin Eckler's injury history, and we know he's not an every down back, with Jeremy McNichols just being brought back for veteran insurance and a nice piece. I wouldn't be shocked if Bill, or whatever you want to call him, is the starter by midway through the season, maybe even earlier than that. Would not be shocked. I'm not saying it will absolutely happen, but it can happen. I don't think this staff is sold by any means. Sold. I don't want to say they don't like him. I don't think he's complete garbage, but I don't think they're sold on Brian Robinson Jr. in any way.
Yeah, I think they're ready for his contract to expire, and then Bill or whoever else is going to fill that role.
I mean, Wikipedia has him as Ja'Cory Bill Kroski-Merritt.
You're messing up names all over the place. Yeah. You know what? You need sleep.
Yeah.
All right, what about Sinnott? I keep hearing that he's more comfortable the second go around.
Yeah, he looks fine. I mean, Zach Ertz still got a lot of target share yesterday. I'll tell you that. Mm. I didn't see a ton of Ben Sinnott running routes and catching balls from anybody. But I think he looks a little bit more comfortable, and he should, right? It's year two. They say the biggest jump for quarterbacks is year one to year two. Well, we kind of forget it's a pretty big jump to go from, you know, little sleepy Kansas State in the Big 12, granted, to NFL football and to be like doing the things, the combo blocks and the schemes and whatnot that they want you to do here. I think if you get, I don't know, 25 catches out of that dude
that'll be
a pretty decent step up. And more importantly, just, again, knowing his assignment. I watched the offensive linemen and the tight ends work in tandem drills. Guys, it doesn't seem sophisticated, but it kind of is. They're talking about where exactly you have to punch and where you have to hit and the angle in your hands and all that stuff. Hey, real quickly before I run out of time, because I know you guys are coming up to a break, Noah Igbinoghene has been, I think, best defensive back and maybe the best individual defensive player so far.
Are you as impressed with Amos, the second-round pick that Kime is?
Yeah, he had a really nice pass breakup yesterday that I saw in the end zone. A real tight, sticky coverage. I forget who the receiver was. I'd have to look at my notes, but no doubt he's looked the part too. I don't mean to dismiss him. I just say Noah Igbinoghene has really jumped out to me. Will Harris has looked pretty good. Amos, again, it's early. It's 2 days, guys. They're not in pads. But he has looked good, and Jaden's looked great. So, I think everything pretty much has been standard fare for the first 2 days. We got an 8 a.m. practice this morning because they moved it up an hour because they're worried about the heat index. So they're trying to take care of the guys. A couple of veterans, Von Miller and Laramie Tunsil, had off yesterday. We'll see what happens. And then the fans come out on Sunday. Everybody will get a chance.
Do you guys ask, do you have to do the obligatory at least one Terry update question every day, or you don't do that?
Yeah, I'd be less than honest if I told you that I was spending a lot of time with Dan Quinn in the pre-practice press conferences. Usually my ass is running late, which it kind of is already today.
Right.
Yes, there have been a couple of questions about Terry. I don't remember one yesterday, but certainly on Wednesday there was.
Yeah.
And Tuesday, obviously, there was. Look, they're not going to tell you much. I mean, what are they supposed to tell you? We want Terry here.
I just want the sense of urgency, and I don't feel it from either side.
I don't think there's a sense of urgency from the commander side. If that's what you're looking for, I don't think there's a tremendous sense of urgency.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Thank you, Russell. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you, guys. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Rooster. Right. Talk to you soon.
Shocker, Russell's running late.
Well, they did move practice to 8 a.m. instead of 9.
I know we got a break, but just to your sentiment, Dan Quinn was asked about Terry just now, and he said, I'm glad you asked that, because when there's an update, we'll give you one.
He's starting to wear on him.
So that's him just saying, don't even ask. We're going to let you know.
Yeah, he said, when there is new news, you will know the new news.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's code for stop asking about it.
He's going to have to eat one.
I'm losing my bet in the pool, which was July 30th.
Right.
I mean, my August 16th is looking better and better each day. I don't want it to last that long, but it's looking better.
I mean, I'd like to eat a 50 or 60 or $70 million, sandwich.
Sure.
But he's going to have to eat. They're not going to budge that much.
Coming up next, it's our Junkies Weekend Parlay.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't go anywhere. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. When you hear that music, that means it's time for our Junkies Weekend Parlay. Shall we spin the wheel, Valdez?
Let's.
Go to me last. Go to me last.
All right, I'm going to lead off then. I'm looking at Mackenzie Gore tonight, and I saw something which jumped out at me. Alt-line, 7 strikeouts or more is plus 154. Nationals take on the Minnesota Twins. In May, Mackenzie Gore was striking everybody out. He was averaging 8.4 strikeouts per game. Now, in June, it slowed down.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe he had a tired arm. In June, less than 6 strikeouts per game.
Mm-hmm.
But he had the All-Star break. His last outing only lasted 2 1/3 innings. Padres kind of roughed him up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Mackenzie Gore has a fresh arm, and he's poised for a bounce back, and he'll return to his form from May. So 7-plus strikeouts for the parlay.
All right. You're in.
7. I think I like that. What's the number?
Plus 154.
Plus 154?
Valdez, I guess I'm filling the role of Bish Bucks.
I'm going to go with a hot bat on the Orioles. They won their day game before coming back home against the Rockies, against the Guardians, but they dropped 3 of 4. But in those 4 games that they played in Cleveland, Ramon Laureano had 3 bombs in that series.
Mm.
So the coming back home, playing the woeful Rockies, I'm expecting the hot streak to keep alive. We're going Laureano for a home run against the Rockies tonight. I believe it's plus 370.
It is plus 370. You're in. You're officially in the parlay.
Wow, Laureano homer.
Got some big plus numbers here so far. Plus 154, plus 370.
Nobody likes it. They just make fun of you if you go, if you pick like a even or a minus. Nobody likes that.
Well, then I'm going to get made fun of because I've got a minus number. You guys know that I love nothing more than betting on the WNBA and betting on the Mystics. Love it. I love betting the Sticks. And they're catching 5.5 points at home with the Seattle Storm visiting. The Sticks just went out and beat the Storm in Seattle. So they're at home catching 5.5. So I'll take that number. Now it's minus 108. So I'll get goofed on. That's fine.
That's right around even.
Drab, can you tell me why the Mystics are a hot ticket? Tickets are starting at $88 for this game. Why such fervor for Mystics tickets at Care First Arena? Can you tell me?
I'm not sure. I'm not up to the latest.
It's the hottest ticket in town.
Wow. Does that mean people are buying them?
I mean, tickets start at $88. It seems pretty pricey. I mean, Caitlin Clark isn't playing for the Storm last time I checked.
Is this season turning out to be a big dud for Caitlin Clark with all the injuries and everything?
Yeah, huge dud.
Huge dud for her, right?
Yeah, and she sucks when she plays.
I mean, she was really bad.
Angel Reese, face of the WNBA.
Right?
By the way, the Sticks they're trying to get to 500. If they beat the Seattle Storm, they get to 12-12.
Hey, did you see the marketing faux pas that the WNBA had?
I did see the marketing faux pas.
It made me slap my knee a little bit.
I'm not sure what you're referring to.
So they have billboards and banners, and they're running this whole campaign for the WNBA, and the phrase that
Gatorade's running the
Gatorade's, excuse me. So Gatorade's phrase that they're using with the WNBA is, let her cook.
Yeah. I saw it yesterday. It did make me slap my knee. Maybe they didn't think that one through so much in the boardroom meetings before they rolled out that campaign.
Yes, and maybe we're just too cynical, Kate.
Maybe that's it.
All right, let's spin the wheel. Junkies Weekend Parlay.
I'm ready if you want to go to me. I don't care, though. You know what? Why don't you go to Mar so we can go get our breakfast?
Let's go to Mike Mar.
Yeah, breakfast is ready.
Yeah.
I'll be picking it up
Let
soon.
Let Mar cook.
Yeah.
We got some silly UFC fights tomorrow. UFC on ABC starting at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Robert Whittaker against Rainer DeRitter. DeRitter's coming off a big win against Bo Nickel. He's a takedown guy, so he's going to try to get Whittaker to the ground. But Whittaker has great takedown defense. Robert Whittaker, former UFC champion, and he's one of the best gatekeepers in UFC history. They're always throwing him young guys, and he's knocking them out of the park. So give me Robert Whittaker money line over this bum tomorrow afternoon.
So he's at minus 158.
All right,
we got two plus numbers, two minus numbers so far in the parlay.
That's going to hurt.
That's all good.
Got it. We got a hit. If you hit, it's okay. If you miss, then you take a big
because it's not gonna hit.
If you miss, no, but I'm just saying individually. If you take a big fave and it misses, then you should really feel terrible.
All right, State King.
I'm just gonna go kind of similar vein. I think it was with Valdez. I'm gonna pick a guy that hit a bomb. Phillies are playing at the Yankees, and Bryce Harper. He likes a big stage. Plus 240. Give me Bryce to hit one over that short right field fence. Plus 240.
All right, you got Bryce Harper to hit a dinger. You are in.
That leaves Drabby T-shirt.
Is Drab going to do a Mubadala City open bet? Of course.
I watched Venus lose last night. That was
I should have bet my life savings on a 46-year-old not bouncing back in her second match.
Yeah, you should have.
Did Fritzy win? I was watching that, and then I gave up.
Went to
bed.
So he's the favorite. Taylor Fritz is the favorite to win the men's side.
Did you see the one point that where it was just spectacular? They like lobbed him. He didn't go between the legs, but kind of went between the legs, and then went back to the net. They was going back and forth. I mean, Fritz was out of position the entire time and stole the point. No,
I did not see it. But look, Taylor's playing really well right now. But I don't think he's going to win this tournament. There's a massive match tonight. We have Tiafoe versus Ben Shelton, and DC Open plays very fast. Big serves are killing it there. I think Shelton's going to win tonight. He's minus 200. That's not what we're betting on.
Okay.
I think Shelton's going to win this tournament. He's plus 430. I know, it's a dumb bet. Whatever. Ride with me a little bit. Taylor Fritz, he always crumbles when the pressure gets on to him. I'm not sold on him. They'll have a big semifinal match on Saturday night. I think Ben Shelton's going to beat Taylor on Saturday, and then he'll just easy victory on Sunday against whatever bum Medvedev or whoever on Sunday. So I like Shelton big time to win the DC Open. I think that will be his third ATP title.
Nice.
Young
plus
kid.
430.
Ooh.
This could be juicy. This could be cakes. $10 bet.
Could be a big one.
Is Cakes going to put it in, or is he going to roll the dice that it doesn't
hit? It's dicey. we never know.
He's got to get it in before he goes to MGM.
That's the biggest bet ever. Will I put the bet in before it expires?
You have to put it in from, you could do it from Maryland.
I can do it from here, too.
You can do it from here.
Pretty sure I can.
You get a physical ticket at MGM, too, if you want it.
Oh, that's true. I could do that.
Do that. That's old school.
That's kind of spicy. I might have to do that. All right. Not going to go through every permutation, but a $10 bet wins us $6,755.32.
Nice. That's a good score.
That's more than grand per person.
Let's go. Let's go. That's our Junkies Weekend Parlay. I'll post that up at Junks Radio on X and on our Instagram account, Sports Junkies Radio. Be right back.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.